67.
You were Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I was a student at the University of Alabama. Somehow I had screwed up my deferment, my student deferment.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure how I did it. I think I took a leave of absence because there was so much going on and I just was sort of mixed up, you know. And I know I went to New York for a summer and lived. And anyway, I screwed up my deferment and I got a draft notice for your physical. And in Alabama, that's a serious letter to get because you go 3 days.
Whoa.
And you go to some godforsaken place in Alabama, a military base for 3 days. Of course, I was just terrified.
Yeah.
And I knew about draft refusal. I think Muhammad Ali had already done it by then.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure.
But, I mean, it wasn't like a mass phenomenon, it happened. And, and I believe that I had talked to a professor who was affiliated with ACLU or something. I think I had a pamphlet or something about refusing induction. Because I knew I wasn't going to go into the military.
Mm-hmm.
I was opposed to the war. I was also opposed to the military, per se. So, I wasn't sure if I was going to have to do that. I went down to Montgomery, I think it's in Montgomery, anywhere, wherever this place is, and I told them that I had asthma, which is true. I told them I was a conscientious objector, which was true, because at that time I was a Christian in the sense of the rebel Jesus type Christianity. And I told them that I was gay, which was true because I had had a relationship with a guy at the university. And it took a lot of pain and anguish to make that decision.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, God, they'll just tell everybody, you know.
Yeah.
But I just decided, well, if I get 4F, it's worth it, you know. Guess what? They said no to all of the above. You don't have asthma, you're not a conscientious objector, and you're not gay.
Nice to know.
So imagine my surprise. And it's funny because a friend of mine who went down there at the same time also told him he was gay and 4F, just like that. So I'm thinking, what the hell is going on here? I found out later that there was the Army had a policy to reject homosexual claims from people from the working class. They had a policy.
If you're poor, you can't be a queer.
Exactly. My father.
You can only be queer if you're rich.
Middle class. Well, find that line on the left that it's a bourgeois decadent thing.
Yes.
It's not. You know, the working class doesn't have
real
gay people.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, for whatever reason, they had that line, and that was why it happened. Although I didn't know it at the time. My father worked for the power company. He fixed refrigerators and stoves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's the working class. He was in IBEW his whole life. And my friend was from a real prominent family in Anniston. So that's why that happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so all of a sudden I'm faced with something new. So that's when I seriously started reading about refusing induction. So when I got my notice to report for induction, I knew what I was going to do because I had read how you do it, and I went. Wherever you go, I'm not sure, frankly, I don't remember where you go, but it's where you're supposed to step across the line, and I didn't. And you're not arrested or anything, you know, you go home, you're arrested later.
I don't want to make a big deal about it.
Well, you know, whatever the procedure is, but anyway, I didn't do it, and they officially told me that I was in violation of the law, and et cetera, et cetera. And I went back to the university, and now I can't explain this, so you'll just have to bear with me. I had like what they call a posse today,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a little circle of friends. But I didn't really know much about the left. I didn't know any of these organizations with the Bird people, with SOC and all that. I didn't know anything about it. I never met any of these people. I was just getting what I knew from Life magazine and stuff like that. Or maybe a few people on campus, you know, yeah. that were radicals. So anyway, I got enough information probably from some sort of nonviolent workshop type thing to think about going to Canada before I was actually arrested. And there was one real close friend of mine, and we were sort of a woman, and we were sort of in love with each other. We decided we were going to get married, and she was going to go too. I'm just saying this because people have straitjackets about relationships, and they don't understand that. That's the way it was. And we got married. We had two ceremonies. We had one on the quadrangle of the University of Alabama, the big grassy area. And everybody came, and it was like we had read about love-ins in California. Mm-hmm. So we decided we'd have a wed-in. And I think it was before they had one anywhere else. So we had a wed-in. And everybody knew us as weird, you know, and there were no weird or interested in being weird people. And several, God, I'd say 300 or 400 people came. And we had some guru there, you know, do a ceremony, and we had played the Velvet Underground on a record player. The Velvet Underground for a wedding? I mean, that's weird. And I'll never forget, at the end of the thing, everybody formed a circle, and then somebody just thought, let's make it a heart. They formed a heart. And we went around, KM was her name, Kathy McLaughlin, everybody called her KM. And we went around to every single person, you know, and hugged them and stuff like that. They wished us the best and everything. So, and then a few days later, we had a Catholic wedding at a student Catholic center with our parents, which was a nightmare.
Quite a difference.
My parents didn't approve Catholics, for one thing. And my mother was horrified by, you know, our apartment and the way we're dressed and all this kind of stuff. And we didn't tell anybody we were leaving. But as soon as we were married, we hitchhiked. We were going to hitchhike to Canada because we didn't have any money. So we got to New York, and somehow, I don't know how we got there. We got to somebody, an SDS office or something. Because I guess we found out enough information about how you go to Canada, you know, who you... Mm-hmm. And we sat down with this guy and told him the story, and he said, you know what, don't go to Canada. He said, go back to Alabama. He said, you have a really good case. You have a really good chance to actually go to court and win your case. He said, if you go to Canada, it's a really major step, and, you know, you can't turn back. Mm-hmm. So we just thought about it, finally decided, okay, we'll go back.